And if you don't have a Bible, grab one. If you do have a Bible, turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. No, thank you. Isaac, you there? Yep. Psalm 145. If you're there, you're there. Not. All right, guys, my name is Caleb. It is good to be with you all today. I've met most of you guys. I can see half of you guys. Lights is a little different. I'm not used to preaching with lights right in the face. It's a new experience. But I'm glad to be here with you guys, and it's an honor to bring God's word. I want to tell you about my friend Simeon. My friend Simeon, I met him when I was like 11, 12 years old, and he was one of my best friends. We ended up doing everything together. We played on the same basketball team. We would go back after basketball practice, you know, watch a show, make some late-night food. He even lived with my family for a little bit. So I'm talking like real close. Like, we were practically like family, right? Me and him were so comfortable together. He was probably the funniest guy I knew, honestly. The funniest guy I've ever came across. All until he came in contact with adults. The kid who was loose and comfortable would like get like a board, like a brick when he came around adults. He wouldn't be able to look them in the eyes. He would get all shy. He would get all just totally different demeanor. And I think sometimes when we come in contact with God, when we come to God's word, we get stiff, or we change our personality, or we put forward a personality that maybe isn't truly who we are. I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but it comes out in different ways. And Luke said something 2 weeks ago. If you guys are here, you guys probably remember it in his sermon. 2 weeks ago, Luke said, let me see if I can find it. There's no pretending with God. God is so real. He will only meet us where we really are. So as we enter into Psalm 145, that idea of being our authentic selves, we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. As we go through all the Psalms, we have to remember that, honestly. And our hope and our goal for tonight, my goal is I sat in my new living room. I just moved here, so everything's new to me, right? As I sat in my new living room and I worked on this sermon, my heart for you guys is to draw closer to God. And I know this because, I want this because as you draw closer to God, the more you'll have to praise God for. And that's what we want tonight. We're entering into a psalm of praise, and I want to see you guys be able to truly praise, and that will come as you draw closer to God. You know how when you go out to eat, like a special occasion, like a birthday dinner, it's usually, I mean, some people love fast food, so maybe it's a fast food place, but maybe you go to like a nice restaurant, you sit down, they bring out all the food, and they set it before you, and what do you usually not do? You don't usually just eat it like as soon as like, I mean, like they put it down, and you just start going at it, right? Usually take a second. You usually like look at it, smell it, take the whole experience in. And that's what we're going to do with God's word tonight. We're going to take the whole experience in. We're not going to just rush into it. We're going to set the context a little bit. So first we're going to remember the authorship. And at the top of your Bible, it should say a Psalm of David. Does that say that for you guys in your guys' word? So usually you have to dig for it. You have to like go to different passages and kind of figure out who wrote this. But for this one, it's easy. We know it's a Psalm of David. But it's not only just a Psalm of David because it says it, it's also stylistically a Psalm of David. And it also lines up with David's view of God. So that's how we can know it's authored by David. Next, we have to look at the style. Have you guys ever heard of acrostic poems? Yes? Yes? Have you ever written an acrostic poem? Yeah? An acrostic poem, for us, it'd be different because you use the alphabet. So like for the first sentence would start with A for us, and then the second with B, and the third with C, and the fourth, right? So David wrote this poem And it was an acrostic poem, but he didn't use the English language. He used the Hebrew language. And why do you think he did that? He did it so it would become easier for the people, the nation of Israel, who he wrote this for. He wrote that so they could recite it easier. They could sing it. And they would sing it and recite it twice in the morning and once at night. And I'm assuming you guys already read this twice in the morning, right? So, we're all set. We're good for the first time tonight then. So I'm going to read that for us, and we're going to dive in, okay, guys? You can follow along with me starting in verse 1. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of your power, of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of your glory, of your kingdom, and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. So what I've decided to do tonight is instead of going verse by verse, which I love doing, that's what I'm probably going to do 9 out of 10 times. But for this section, we're going to go block by block, and kind of I've compiled our study of this psalm in a way that we can understand David's heart and what David is getting at for every few verses or so. So we're going to go block by block and then string it together to understand what David is really getting at. And like I've said before, I want to say this again. I'm going to reiterate this multiple times throughout our sermon today. David was able to say this because he had experienced God. David overflowed with praise because he had came in contact with the true and living God. And my desire for you guys is to be filled with praise, but what has to happen first? You need to come in contact with the true and living God, right? So as I think it's no better way to enter into this scripture than entering into drawing closer to God. Does that make sense to you guys? Starting in verse 1. I will exalt you, my God, the King. Somebody remind me, who wrote this? David. And what's the first thing he says? He says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. Right away, let's not forget, David was the king of Israel. He had so many people under his authority. Yet the very first thing he does is he submits himself to God. That's powerful. I remember reading this just in the last week and just being like awestruck by it. That we have a king writing this, but yet when he comes in contact with the King of Kings, he bows. And I think that's a beautiful way that as we go into encountering God, what's the first right step? We bow. We submit ourselves. Was it because David didn't have popularity or he was ugly or lacked success? No. It had nothing to do with who David is or who David was. And in the same way, when we go before God, it doesn't matter who you are. If you think you have esteem on this earth or you think you have nothing to give, because God is the King, and no matter who we are, we should bow and submit ourselves to his authority. We understand from Scripture But David had the wealth, he had the looks, he had the success. But David knew of God's glory. David knew of God's kingdom. David knew of God's love and righteousness. And this wasn't just kind of an occasional thing for David. You guys can find in the next verse, it says, every day I will praise you forever and ever. So this wasn't just a Monday thing or a Tuesday thing. This wasn't just kind of like marked off on the calendar. This was an every single day thing for David. This was a pattern. We talk about, I've heard people in this church talk about rhythms. Have you guys heard people in the church talk about that? This was a rhythm of David's life. But why? In verse 3, it says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can understand. David saw God for who he truly is, who God truly is. Because of this, David was able to see himself rightly and knew he did not compare to God. Have we experienced personal devotion to God? David experienced the joy of submitting himself to the king, and it overflowed because of that. Something that I was thinking about, an idea that I was thinking about as I prepared this, was a conversation with my wife Emma. Everybody say, hi, Emma.
Hi, Emma.
A conversation that me and Emma had was the idea that if you're a songwriter, like she's a songwriter, if you're a songwriter, it's kind of hard to write about something that you never experienced, right? Imagine sitting down and trying to write a song about a city you've never been to or an experience you've never been through. Just doesn't really, it would probably come out a little wacky. It wouldn't come out right. For David to write these things, he needed to experience God. He needed to actually put himself in front of God. We are receiving the fruit of that fruit of the relationship David had with God. And the closer we draw to God, the more we will have to praise. Verse 4 now. David elevates his praise. He elevates it past just himself. He places his praise in the midst of the generations of God's people. It says in verse 4, one generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. Here in verse 4, David describes the generation's worship. Two things happen. First of all, the tone of praise is revealed. It says in the following verses that the generations spoke. This is them praising God, right? They spoke, they told, they celebrated, they sang. And when I imagine this, the generations of people before and after David, I don't imagine this being a boring experience. This is probably pretty lively. And the second thing happens. David elevates his praise, right? So he has that personal devotion, that personal relationship with God. But he got to a point where he wanted to elevate it and incorporate all the people who had came before him, who had praised God. It's kind of like when you're in your room and you're just kind of singing, right? You know, you have that one song, just you completely have it memorized by heart. And you're like, this is my favorite artist, my favorite song. And what happens when you go to a concert? Everybody knows that song. And now, like, you have to compete against all these people who all know that same song and all of that artist. But something powerful happens, right? You're not thinking about, oh man, that person might be a bigger fan than me, or that person might be a bigger. You just you join as one, and it becomes elevated. So in the same way, David elevates his praise by joining in with all the people before him and afterwards. But what are they praising? What specifically they're praising? Verse 8 now, and verse 9: the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. These words were true in the Old Testament when he wrote it. They were true when Jesus came and he delivered salvation to us. And it's true now for us. David's praises were made stronger by incorporating the generations. This speaks of the gospel of Christ. Have we experienced the God of redemption who has offered salvation to not just our generation, not just the past generation, but all generations? When I became a Christian, I couldn't stop talking about God. I couldn't stop thinking about God. And now it's been 9 years, and I still can't stop praising God for it because I experienced God, and because of that, there was an overflow. And now I'm here in front of you guys just giving praise to God. the same as it was 9 years ago. The closer we draw to God, the God who saves, the more we will have to praise. And what are we going for here today, guys? We're trying to build our praise. We're trying to build praise and glorify God, right? So the more we draw closer to God, the more we'll have to praise. Verse 9. Where the following verses kind of talked about redemption. Now verse 9 talked about redemption. Verse 10 transitions into something that we might not naturally be as excited for. Verse 10 shifts into the praise for God's reign as king. For many possible reasons, we might hear the reign or rule or king or maybe control or sovereignty, and we might not get excited because our experience with people in authority might not be the same experience as it is with God. We think of principles. A lot of you guys probably have really cool principles. I'm not hating on principles. Or parents. You guys probably have a lot of cool parents. Or presidents, right? All these people have, even at their best, are sinful or imperfect. So no matter what, we're getting kind of a skewed version of authority and leadership and kingship. But that's not the case with God. And David knew that well. It says in verse 13, it says, "The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does." Have we experienced the king of this coming kingdom? The more we become unsatisfied with our authorities on earth and our leadership that isn't perfect, it isn't completely faithful, it isn't completely holy like God is, the more we get ready for the coming kingdom of God. And that's a good place to be in, and something I'm still learning about. Because I'm not, when I say being unsatisfied, I'm not saying you hate, I'm not saying you disrespect, I'm just saying you understand that our authorities today, they're not God, and God is coming. And I think that they should be a reminder of that. The king that is coming is Jesus. And the closer we draw to the king of the coming kingdom, the more we will have to praise. Moving into our final section now, verses 14 through 21, David moves forward in praise by describing that king. He does this by lifting up God's trustworthy faithfulness. And I don't know about you guys, but when I see trustworthy faithfulness, that like latches onto my heart. Because I don't know about your guys' experience, but I've messed up. And then messed up, and then messed up in so many areas of life. But knowing that God is faithful, and that he's pursued me, and that he's kept up with me, even when I've been at my worst, even when I've pushed him away, even when I have not wanted anything to do with him, God is faithful. And so whenever I see it in the Bible, I'm locking into that, and I'm holding that, because that's the truth, that God is faithful, and I can say that. And it's my favorite attribute of who God is. David describes his faithfulness. And let's go through these characteristics he names. In verse 14, it says, "God upholds all who fall." Also in verse 14, it says, "God lifts up all who are bowed." Verse 15, "God feeds those who are hungry." Verse 16, "He satisfies." Verse 18, "He is near to all who call." Verse 19, "He fulfills our desires." Also in verse 19, "He saves us." In verse 20, "He watches over us." David concludes this whole entire psalm the same way he began, right? He started with personal devotion. He brought it up big as the generations. He looked forward towards the kingdom and then closed it with another personal declaration of his devotion to God. He says in that final verse of 21, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." And I don't know if you guys knew this. I just learned this pretty recently. But Psalm 145 is believed to be David's last psalm. I think it's just a perfect way for him to go out. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. That's in cultural terms, that's David's mic drop, right, guys? Right? That's him saying, that's it. That's what I want to be known by. And I think he's done a great job, and that is his legacy as a writer. A theologian named Derek Kidner said this about that ending. He said, so ends David's contribution to the Psalms. On a note of praise which is wholly his own, yet as wide as mankind, and as unfading as eternity. I really enjoy those words as commentary, but also as summary. We understand that David's praise was personal, it was devotional. We understand that he lifted it up and that he was a part of just the praise of the generations. We understand that he is looking forward to the faithfulness of God in the future and the coming of the kingdom. But have we experienced God's goodness that David praises? The closer we draw to God, the God who does not fail, the more we will have to praise. As we conclude our time tonight, guys, I want to think about putting ourselves into this situation, putting us into this psalm. It's possible that we read it and it could have come off as repetitive or dull. It's just David saying the same thing over and over again, just in different ways. But the reason it isn't repetitive is because David could actually tie his life situations with each way he was praising God. So we might just read this and we don't understand all of David's backstory, but David was connecting a life situation with all of these praises. And remember, my heart for you guys is to understand this psalm, to live into the psalm, and finally, praise God through the psalm. And there's no better way than entering into the psalm than entering into a closer relationship with God, entering into a closer relationship with Jesus. David, like I said, had personal experiences tied to these. So when he said in Psalm 145, I think it's verse 9, he is gracious and compassionate, it's because David had messed up and experienced this. When our text says that the Lord is trustworthy in all his promises, it's because David received promises from God and God delivered. When it says that the Lord is trustworthy in all his promises, I just read that, my bad, guys. When it says the Lord upholds all who fall, it's because David had fallen and God had lifted him up. When it says the Lord is near to all who call on him, it's because David called on the name of the Lord and the Lord was near to David. And this happened thousands of years ago, but this doesn't change. God is the same as he was before David, for David, and for us, and for all of eternity. God is the same. And he is just desiring you to draw closer to himself. And that's what I want you guys to do today. And I don't know any better way. This has been my experience and all the people around me that I've seen draw closer to the Lord. I don't see it happening any other way other through experiencing God through Scripture, right? That's the living word. We come in contact with Jesus when we come in contact with this word. When we pray, when we come before the Lord humble and we devote ourselves and our time to God and we spend time in community like we're doing right now, like when we attend church, like when we hang out, like when we have conversations about the Lord. Because the truth of the matter is, life's going to continue going on. There'll be youth group after youth group, and you guys are going to continue going to work and school, not right now, but in the fall. And life is just going to keep spinning, right? And life gets harder. And when I was 13 and I became a Christian, life was different than when I was 15. And then life got even more different when I was 17. And then 19. And then 8. Every single year, life changes so fast. And we're going through things. And I mean, I'm telling you guys, in the last 3-4 years, the way I've seen the Lord come through over and over and over again, and my praises have multiplied, it's only been through drawing closer to the Lord. That's my prayer for you guys. Would you pray with me? Lord, we love you. We're thankful for you, Lord. We're thankful that we have this opportunity to dive into the Psalms, to understand and get to know you better, Lord. I pray that you would continue to pursue us, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that you would allow us the right steps to take so that we could enter into community with you, Lord, through scripture, through prayer, and through fellowship, Lord. We love you. We're asking a blessing on the rest of our night, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for having me. If you haven't signed in yet, please sign in. A lot of you guys haven't signed in. I can just tell. Please sign in. Have a great night. You guys can wrap things. I think we'll wrap things up in the next 10, 15 minutes. But it's good to see you guys. And I'll see you a lot of you guys tomorrow. A few. So, and then if not, and then I'll see you guys next week. So take care, guys.